Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, September 25th, 2021, the weekend edition. Section A. RRC to stop issuing some new permits. Oil and gas operators have been told to reduce their daily injection volumes. By Caitlin Randall. After there were 6 earthquakes greater than 3.5 magnitude near Midland over the last year and a half, the Texas Railroad Commission announced Friday that they would stop issuing permits for saltwater disposal wells in that area. The earthquakes have occurred in a part of the Midland Basin known as the Gardendale Seismic Response Area, according to a notice sent to oil and gas operators. Most recently, there was a 3.7 magnitude earthquake detected 8 miles northwest of Midland on September 7th. RRC staff stopped issuing new disposal well permits in the Gardendale SRA after determining that saltwater injection was likely contributing to seismic activity. Additionally, oil and gas operators have been told to reduce their daily injection volumes. The RRC expects these procedures will be in effect for at least a year. Operators of disposal wells in the Gardendale area will need to reduce their maximum daily injection rate to 10,000 barrels per day per well, measure daily injection volumes and pressures, and report those to the RRC monthly, including historical data since November 1, 2019, not begin or return to using disposal wells that have been permitted but are not currently in service. The RRC has published a map with recorded earthquakes and disposal wells in the Gardendale area, as well as the names of the operators of 76 permitted wells. The map, which uses data from January 2017 to September 21st of this year, shows that earthquakes are occurring primarily north of Midland and between Midland and Odessa, where there are active disposal wells. The main operators identified by the RRC are COG Operating, 15 wells, Fasken Oil and Ranch, 5, Occidental Permian, 4, Pioneer Natural Resources, 8, and Rattler Midstream Operating, 8. A permit issued to Wasser Operating for a maximum of 60,000 barrels a day was the largest volume permitted in the area. The company will now need to cut their injection fluid to 1/6 of what was previously allowed. The changes announced by the RRC came after the commission released a statement earlier this month saying that they would be investigating the rise in earthquakes. This year, there have been 81 earthquakes above 1.5 magnitude within 1 7-mile-long cluster north of Midland, according to the U.S. Geological Survey data. Oil prices near $74, highest level since July. By Mella McEwen. A combination of rising demand and tightening supplies served to boost crude prices for a 5th consecutive week. West Texas Intermediate on the New York Mercantile overcame Monday's $1.68 decline to rise the remainder of the trading week, including a $1.74 jump on Wednesday. Prices rose 68 cents Friday to close at $73.98. Posted prices closed the week at $70.46, according to Plains All America. Natural gas on the NYMEX had a rough go at the beginning of the week, dropping a combined 30 cents Monday and Tuesday. But prices came on strong Thursday and Friday, climbing 17 cents and 16.5 cents, respectively, to end the week at $5.14. Supply disruptions continue to linger in the Gulf Coast, and we expect inventories to tighten. With global demand expected to surge in the coming months, there's also growing concern about inadequate supply as we enter into the winter months. Bullish fundamentals set up oil prices and the industry for a strong return over the next few years, Ed Longenecker said. Still, prices comfortably above $70 have not budged oil producers from their cautious stance this year. PDC Energy has been running a rig full-time this year and plans to do so in 2022. We are not currently running a completion crew, though we do plan to resume completions in 2022. All of which is consistent with our plan and has not changed with the run-up in current prices, Kyle Sirk told the Reporter-Telegram. Analysts have credited the efforts of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and allied nations in keeping excess oil off the markets for supporting crude prices. They also say OPEC and its allies are being cautious in their plans to add supply as demand continues to rebound from the pandemic, a stance that should continue supporting commodity prices. I don't expect OPEC Plus to change its stance from adding 400,000 nominal a month as long as Brent is north of $65, Bill Farron with data analytics in Averis told the Reporter-Telegram. The interesting bit comes next year or into the fourth quarter when we have big U.S. additions expected. That should soften balances and test the downside a bit more. He cited an Enverus recently released report that said OPEC Plus will need to remove some 2 million barrels a day off the market at some point early next year to maintain prices around $65. That is not the message they're sending out, but then why would they highlight potential market weaknesses? Bloomberg cited data analytics firm Kairos as saying global onshore crude supply sank by almost 21 million barrels last week, led by China, while U.S. inventories are near a three-year low. The surge in natural gas prices is expected to force some consumers to switch to oil, tightening the market further ahead of the Northern Hemisphere winter. The Scout Guide comes to West Texas. This is the farthest west the guide has gone in the state, by J.C. Lewis. The Scout Guide is officially coming to West Texas and spotlighting Midland. Midlander Clara Ramirez is the editor of the Scout Guide West Texas. The Scout Guide showcases the best of an area in a magazine form. It launched in 2010 in Charlottesville, Virginia. Now the company creates yearly guides for more than 60 cities and areas. The guides are super high quality with a gold leaf inlay on the front. They feature really beautiful spreads that showcase small businesses in cities across the country. Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, Austin, Fort Worth, Plano, Frisco, and the Hill Country currently have Scout Guides in Texas. This is the farthest west the guide has gone in the state of Texas, as Lubbock and El Paso do not currently have a guide. Ramirez said that the West Texas Guide range will go down to Marfa, Marathon, Alpine, and Lajitas and over to Fort Davis to showcase businesses in West Texas. There is a printed guide and website. Ramirez first came across the guide about 8 years ago while visiting Dallas during a girls' trip. I remember going into this nice boutique that had a scout guide, and I remember wanting to buy it to take home with me. The girl at the counter told me it was free and I could simply take it. I ended up using the book to the entire weekend. We went to the restaurants it recommended, the stores, and we even saw a show at a concert hall that was in the guide. Ever since that trip, when Ramirez traveled to a city, she would check to see if that city had a guide. Ramirez is a fifth-generation West Texan and grew up in Midland. She moved to Houston to work in corporate and political event planning after graduating from Baylor. She moved back to Midland with her husband to start a family and was approached by a former partner to start a high-end curated shopping event in Midland. At the beginning of this year, she left the company but wanted to do something really locally minded that hasn't been done in the past. She was then approached by the Scout Guide to bring the venture here. Initially, there was some contemplation of creating a Midland-Odessa Scout Guide. There is just this rich culture of far west Texas that as a whole would create such an interesting guide. Of course, we will have the great restaurants and realtors in Midland and Odessa, but also there will be a flip side of our book that will be a travel guide of have the best weekend in Marfa, Fort Davis, and Big Bend. In the end, we are getting a 2-for-1, which most guides don't have. The guides are free for consumers and will be found in businesses across West Texas. The first guide for West Texas will be released in the summer of 2022. Guides will be updated and released yearly. Besides being showcased in the local guide and online locally, the guide also promotes small businesses on a national scale. The headquarters curates lists that feature small businesses from across the nation. Local editors can submit businesses. There will be opportunities for small businesses in the Scout Guide West Texas to be part of an entrepreneurial community. Ramirez said that guide members can network and potentially be part of a marketing workshop. I knew it would be very successful, she said. It's already been exciting how many small local businesses have reached out thanking me for bringing this here because they will be marketed in a way they have never been marketed before. It's a premier publication that is nationally recognized. The publication officially launched last week. The Scout Guide West Texas is now taking applications to be the guide, to be in the guide, because the guide is the best of the best. Applications can be filled out at westtexas.thescoutguide.com. We call it scouting, she said, so I'm going around finding the best enchiladas in small town West Texas, but also we're figuring out who the best dentist is in Midland. She said she hopes to have one of the biggest guides at around 100 pages or so. There will be a lot of space for businesses to get in on this partnership. Ramirez is planning to host a launch party sometime in December, which will feature local vendors from across West Texas for a Christmas market. It will be an opportunity for the Scout Guide to introduce itself to the community. No bond talk, not now. Give MISD a chance. A commentary by Stuart Doreen. I must admit that I was worried when I heard that the school district was doing a demographics study versus student population analysis. I was curious about the need to do one right after a pandemic basically hit the reset button on what's taking place in our community. I thought it gave a year or 18 months longer, and one might provide more data to be certain about the COVID impact on who's in Midland for the long term. But mostly I thought that it could be interpreted by a skeptical electorate as the first step toward a bond, and that is not where this community is right now. Talking to Midland ISD staff this week, they wanted information to have better discussions about boundaries and to provide data for long-term facilities committee meetings. It appears they got it. The study showed us a lot of what we already knew. Most of the growth is taking place in the northwest side of town and along Big Spring Street and State Highway 349. You can bet long-term future growth happens in the northeast. That's why my experience covering the city tells me anything after that is the proverbial crapshoot. Let's also be certain. As far as presentations go, the one from Davis Demographics on Monday was subpar and left too many answers about the impact of expected out-of-district charters and other school choice options in Midland. It did not help set a foundation for what is really known. The good news for Midlanders who are skeptical is that bond issues don't appear to be at the top of the list of Midland ISD staff. My conversations with them lead me to believe their focus is specifically on academic performance, and they don't want the months-long distraction that a bond campaign can bring. Not now. There is too much on the line. COVID made sure of that. My guess is district leaders want to start checking some boxes or posting some academic wins. Better results on their own metrics, especially at the elementary school level, would be a great start. Let's follow that up with higher scores on accountability tests and a lower number of failing campuses. Let's show the value of intercession and this new MISD calendar, and then finish off the year with teacher and campus leadership feedback that the central office has turned into a service center that Superintendent Angelica Ramsey has talked about. Should Midland ISD show gains there, then the other stuff will follow plans to build or modify facilities, and a possible tax ratification element that might be needed as Midland ISD heads toward uncertain fiscal times in 2024. It will be then when temporary annual payments, transition grant funding, in excess of $60 million ends, and the district might be forced to make massive cuts. Frankly, it's refreshing to talk to Midland ISD staff and hear they want to earn the public's trust. We all hear that Odessa residents are starting talks about a new bond, and there are probably some who believe Midland should follow that lead. But waiting makes more sense. One last point. The start of the Angelica Ramsey era at Midland ISD, in my opinion, has been a test on keeping leadership focused on academic performance. Her new team needs time. They need wins, and they need quiet that, frankly, they haven't been afforded because of COVID, masks, and leftover problems from an administration that wasn't as detail-oriented as MISD deserved. Friends of Windlands Park announces project. This week, Keep Midland Beautiful officials announced that the Friends of Windlands have been working on a project at Windlands Park to keep the park partly native prairie-like, but still allow for the park to be a place to walk, exercise, and play disc golf. Officials said they have been working to save milkweed that has appeared and other plants because of the abundance of rain this year, and mow paths that are good for the disc golfers and make certain the pathways are other amenities the park has offered for years stay intact. The Texas Master Naturalist Program is sponsored by Texas Parks and Wildlife and Texas AgriLife Extension Service with the goal to develop a core of well-informed volunteers to provide education, outreach, and service dedicated to the beneficial management of natural resources and natural areas within the communities for the state of Texas. The local chapter covers 10 counties in West Texas, of which Midland is one. The Llano Estacado chapter has joined the Friends of Windlands with the hope of providing assistance in the following areas: observation and recording fauna and flora present at the park, helping the city in identifying and controlling invasive plants, being part of the public education effort for all age groups on the natural resource that is right here within the city limits, and partnering with all who come to Windlands to enjoy the outdoors for the betterment of the community. Those at an event held at the park include Councilman Jack Ladd, Midlander Tevis Hurd, former Councilwoman Charla Hotchkiss, and John Hendricks with the Midland Disc Golf Club. West Texas Food Bank hosts Kids Market. The West Texas Food Bank is bringing back the Kids Farmers Market, sponsored by HEB, and will unveil the XTO Energy Innovative Gardens to the community. The event, which is set for 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, is free and open to kids of all ages to learn about fresh fruit and vegetables, located at 1601 West Cliff Drive. Kids will be able to fill a farmer's market bag with fresh produce for free while supplies last from HEB. Cooking with Kimberly will showcase fun recipes, and gardener Patty will talk about planting fall gardens. The market will also feature the Midland County Library Bookmobile, University of Texas Permian Basin Student Government Association, and Keep Midland Beautiful. The 1.5-acre addition to the West Texas Food Bank Midland facility will incorporate two biodomes, additional classroom space, raised planting beds, vertical gardens, a pollinator garden to attract bees and butterflies, and will continue the WTFB's mission of education to break the cycle of poverty in Midland. The Ellen Noel Art Museum will host a free community art day from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. Saturday. The theme for art a la carte is Curiouser and Curiouser, which ties into the museum's newly opened exhibit, Finding Alice, an illustrated look at Alice's adventures in Wonderland. Kids of all ages can enjoy different art stations and more. Odessa High School Harp and University of Texas Permian Basin Pots and Prints will be on site too. The event is free and open to the public. Author reflects on growing up queer in Midland by J.C. Lewis. A Dallas-based poet with West Texas roots, Logan Cure, has written a queer coming-of-age poetry book chronicling the difficulties of growing up in Midland. "It took a really long time to publish this book," she said. "I sent this book out for a couple of years, but received loving rejections, then found Deep Vellum, which was very interested in local and Texas books." She said the hardest part about placing her book out there and publishing is the fact that it is a very queer book. "Welcome to Midland is a queer coming-of-age novel in verse that tells a story," Kira said. "It has a central characteristic speaker. It is also a cultural and historical documentation of Midland. When people think of Midland, they think of the Bush family and baby Jessica. The book delves into what makes Midland what it is, including the oil industry. She also focuses on the survivors, such as plants and animals that thrive out here." Kira said that when she was in high school, she was the only out person she was aware of. "There was no community in Midland for LGBTQIA people while I was living there. I was absolutely isolated. That is part of what the book is doing. The audience, I imagine, interested in the book are people who grew up somewhere like that, which can be harsh and isolating." Cure shared her poem, Supernova, with the Reporter Telegram. "Leah asked for stars, so I drove past the end of the roads where mesquite trees narrowed the caliche path. My headlights illuminated stark angles of cactuses, glinted in wide eyes of some lone creature, a fox. I killed the engine and desert concealed us in abiding darkness. Windows down, together we faced the galaxy, resplendent, at once immediate and impossibly distant. All evening, in rooms full of strangers, her easy laughter chased emptiness from my chest. Now alone, I mirrored the stillness of her starlit face, partook of her silence, gave thanks in the vast cathedral of night." Cure graduated from Lee High School, then attended Texas A&M for her undergraduate degree. She earned her MFA in creative writing from the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. She's an English professor at a community college in Fort Worth. She curates Inner Moonlight, a monthly podcast reading series of the Wild Detectives in Dallas. She started working on poems for the book in 2012. "It was different from anything else I've ever done," she said. "Telling that type of sustained story in a different voice than what I am used to writing in, I asked myself, what would happen if I imagined the protagonist is indeed heroic? My poetic voice prior to that point had been fairly dark. I let the speaker be the hero of the piece." The art in the book was done by another Midland native, Ashley Henderson. Illustrations include that of a horned lizard, roadrunner, and oil rig, and other West Texas representations. While writing the poems, Cure also asked herself that if she was a young person, what it would mean to survive in a harsh environment. Researching for the book made her think about Midland differently and learn knowledge she never would have known. "This book was a journey in itself and of itself," she said. "It took a long time to write, but I think I did what I set out to do, which was to tell a very honest but very hopeful story about a very specific place." Midland Health: remain cautious against COVID. The COVID numbers inside Midland Memorial Hospital and inside Midland County appear to be trending down, but Midland Health officials are asking for a community to remain cautious. While Midland Health President CEO Russell Myers said Thursday he felt like the Midland community is on the downward slope of this current surge, he said it's really important not to get complacent. He talked about optimism in Midland Memorial Hospital because the number of COVID patients dropped from 125 at its peak to 68 on Thursday. He talked about a positivity rate at Midland Health testing centers that dropped below 20% for the first time in 2 months. He said that Midland Memorial was finally able to take in transfer patients and, beginning this Monday, do elective surgeries. Both have been put on hold during the most recent surge. Remember, just less than 3 months ago, we had 4 patients in the hospital, Meyer said. 68 COVID patients at the hospital is still a lot, and it still taxes our capacity. We need those numbers to get down into the single digits as soon as we can. Later, during the second of 2 Midland Health press conferences this week, Myers repeated a line he heard that he said has summed up this COVID pandemic. He was asked if Midland had reached its peak. "It's always too soon to tell," Myers said. "One of the most profound things I've heard anyone say about this pandemic is that if it doesn't inspire humility, then you're not paying attention. If you think you know what's going on, if you think you have the ability to predict the next move of the virus or the next mutation, then you need to be humbled, and you probably will be. So we're not going to be speculating that we're out of the woods. I don't want to deliver that message to anybody in the community, that we can be complacent." Some highlights from the week include 80% of the inpatients Thursday were unvaccinated. The number of deaths on Thursday has risen to 31, which meant that the 2-month total was up to 61. The age range of patients was 22 to 89, and the bulk of patients inside Midland Memorial was less than 70 years. Who is eligible for the Pfizer booster shots in the U.S.? Millions of Americans are now eligible to receive a Pfizer booster shot to help increase their protection against the worst effects of the coronavirus. A look at the nuts and bolts of this new phase of the vaccination campaign. Who should get the booster? People who got 2 Pfizer shots at least 6 months ago and who fall into one of these groups should get the booster. People 65 and older, nursing home residents and assisted living residents, and other ages 50 to 64 with a long list of risky health problems, including cancer, diabetes, asthma, HIV infection, and heart disease. Being overweight or obese is a category that qualifies roughly 70% of people in this age group. Who else can consider getting it? The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say that people may get a booster, but stopped short of a full recommendation. People 18 to 49 who got their Pfizer shots at least 6 months ago with risky health problems can consider the booster based on their individual benefits and risks. Anyone 18 to 64 with a risky job, such as healthcare, can consider boosters. Prisoners and people living in homeless shelters are also in this group. What are the side effects? Serious side effects from the first 2 Pfizer doses are exceedingly rare, including heart inflammation that sometimes occurs in younger men. Weren't some people already eligible for a 3rd dose? Yes, people with severely weakened immune systems were already eligible to get a 3rd dose of Pfizer or Moderna. This group includes people taking immune-suppressing medications and those with diseases that tamp down their immune systems. They did not have to wait 6 months to get a 3rd dose. What if I got Moderna? Can I get a Pfizer booster? Not yet. Health officials say they don't have enough data on mix and match vaccinations. Andrew C. Elliott, Jr. passed away in his home on September 17. A memorial service in his honor will be held on Tuesday, September 28 at 1 p.m. at Westlake Hills Presbyterian Church in Austin. The church asks that all attendees please wear a mask. In lieu of flowers, please consider donations to the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation or Central Texas Food Bank. Betty Moss Dean passed away peacefully in her sleep on August 16th. A small private memorial service for family was held at Holy Trinity Episcopal Church. Eugene Big Dog Cantu III passed away on September 22nd. Funeral arrangements are under the direction of Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Joseph Rodney DeNoon passed away on September 24th. A private memorial service was held with family and friends. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home. Marvin Zug passed away on September 15th. Online condolences can be received at Avila Sanchez Funeral Home. David Whitaker passed away on September the 10th. A celebration service is scheduled for Friday, October 1st at 10 a.m. in the chapel of First Baptist Church in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickham Welsh Funeral Home. Hector Garcia of Midland passed away on September 23rd. The viewing will be from 8 to 9 p.m. Monday, September 27th at Nellie Pickham Welsh Funeral Home. Funeral service will be at 10 a.m. Tuesday at the First Baptist Church Sanctuary in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickham Welsh Funeral Home. Juan Blas Rivera Jr. passed away on September 7th. Funeral services were held at 2 p.m. on Saturday the 25th at St. Stephen's Catholic Church. Vicki Beeman passed away on September 4th and is survived by her husband, two children, and three grandchildren. Wilbert Seifert of Midland passed away on September 18th. There are no services scheduled at this time.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Odessa American for Saturday, September 25th. Fiddlesticks Farms adds new attractions by Michael Bauer, Midland. Every year, farmers Matt and Jessica Norton try to add new attractions to Fiddlestick Farms before opening up to the public in the fall. This year will be no different as Matt and Jessica prepare for their 14th year of running Fiddlestick Farms. Located on 5610 East County Road in Midland, Fiddlesticks Farms will open for the season today. The Family Fun attraction will be open on every weekend from September 25th through November 20th, with numerous events from exploring the farm's 7-acre cornfield maze, wandering through its 10 acres of pumpkin patch, visiting farm animals, or gathering around a campfire. We try to make it to where every time you come out here every year, you're going to have a different and hopefully better experience than you did the previous years, Matt said. This year, we've added a few things. This year, the Nortons have expanded Fiddlesticks Farms, adding 4 new acres of their courtyard. We'll have plenty of room to spread out, so if someone wants to social distance a little bit more, you can give them more room, Matt said. Also new this year will be a grain truck that's been turned into a stage. We're going to have live music Saturday nights for a couple of hours in addition to the fireworks display, Jessica said. Another new item at Fiddlesticks Farms this year will be a chalk bus, which is a school bus which the Nortons bought from Greenwood ISD that's been painted with chalk paint. We drew some pictures on there for kids to color with sidewalk chalk, Jessica said. It's kind of similar to the Cadillac Ranch in Amarillo, Matt said. You can crawl on the bus and write your name on it and take your picture and do that every weekend if you like. There will also be a pick-your-own-flower patch throughout the season at the farm. It's one of those things that you don't know when the flowers are going to bloom, so we can't predict, but it'll be throughout the season, Jessica said. We will highlight that on our social media account. Each year, Fiddlesticks Farms has a different theme for its corn maze. This year's corn maze design will be about supporting small and local businesses. During last year, all the small businesses had to tough it out, and we wanted to show our support and show them that we appreciate all the businesses that stuck it out, Matt said. It was pretty rough, and it isn't over yet, but we're fighting through it. Last year's corn maze theme was Texas Strong. It was a tribute to the state of Texas, Matt said. Texans had to come together with everything that happened, and we wanted to show our support for the state of Texas last year. There'll be no shortage of special events at Fiddlesticks Farms this year. Every Saturday night in October will feature fireworks. Each weekend, another popular attraction will feature the Candy Blaster, which fires off a load of sweets every Saturday and Sunday afternoon in September, October, and November. Helicopter rides will be held on October 16th, 17th, 23rd, 24th, 30th, and 31st. Halloween will also fall on a weekend this year as well, and Fiddlesticks Farms will be having costume contests and trick-or-treating. We have multiple events, Jessica said. We'll have something different every weekend. We'll have Doggy Day on October 2nd and 3rd, and we're going to allow guests to bring their dogs. It was a hit last year, so we're offering that again. We're going to have a Heroes Weekend, October 9th and 10th, where we give discounts to the military and first responders. It almost goes without saying that putting together Fiddlesticks Farms each fall is the culmination of a year-long process for the Nortons. We already started prepping for things that we want to do for next season, Matt said. Of course, the last 2 weeks before we open, it's been crazy, trying to get everything finished up like we want it and getting the small details to make things perfect. But it is exciting, and you get to see your whole year's worth of work come together and see people enjoy it. Jessica echoed those thoughts. We've all been busy doing what we have to do, Jessica said. We have 3 kids, so we have all of our stuff going on with them. We're still trying to get our new attraction set up, so everybody's just been super busy. I don't know if we've had time to be excited. It takes numerous people to get everything done the way Matt and Jessica want things done. The Nortons also have to balance the workload with Fiddlesticks and their own farm. We also farm cotton, Jessica said. It takes farming cotton and running Fiddlesticks Farms for us to operate both businesses, and they go hand in hand. It takes a whole lot of people and a lot of time and man hours. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of stress. However, Jessica says it's all worth it. We've made a lot of family time out of it and built a whole lot of friendships, Jessica said. It's all wonderful opportunities, and we always get to grow and meet new people whenever we have new staff come on. I believe we started hiring new staff members and started accepting applications in January and started doing interviews in the middle of July. It's a tedious process, but it takes a lot of people to do the behind the scenes. It takes a lot of people to run the farm when we're open as well. We usually have 60 to 80 staff members on hand when we're open. Matt's favorite thing about running Fiddlesticks Farms with his wife is everything, but he also likes seeing things come together. It's all fun to me, Matt said. For me, personally, the farm is a giant puzzle. It's a challenge to get it all put together and trying to get the pieces to fall into place. It is certainly a challenge, but the most fun part for me is trying to get it all put together in the right order to make it work out just right. What? Fiddlestick Farms, when? Open every weekend until November 20th. Fiddlesticks Farms, 5610 East County Road, Midland. Quick hits. Discover Odessa has scheduled certified Odessan training from 1 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. October 20th and from 8:30 a.m. to noon October 21st at the Pecos Depot, 2140 Andrews Highway. Topics will include Learn How to Be Texas Friendly with a Texas Pecos Trail representative. Learn about all the attractions Odessa has to offer its locals and visitors. Hear from the host attraction about their mission and services offered and tour the host attraction. The event is free. RSVP is required. Space is limited. To RSVP, call 432-333-7871 or email Erica, E-R-I-K-A, at discoverodessa.org. For more information, visit discoverodessa.org. Hello, this is Cindy, continuing to read from the Odessa American for Monday. Local News Roundup. The UTPB Philharmonic Orchestra has scheduled a concert, The Voice of Female Composers, at 7:30 p.m. Tuesday at the Ray Greathouse Hall at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, 1310 North Farm to Market, 1788, Midland. Admission is free and open to the public. The 2nd Indian Head Division Association is seeking service members who served in the Army's 2nd Infantry Division, at any time for its 99th annual reunion Wednesday through Sunday in Kansas, Missouri. For more information, contact Bob Haynes at 224-225-1202 or email 2idahq@comcast.net or visit www.2ida.org. Odessa Chamber of Commerce to receive Economic Development Award. The Texas Economic Development Council, TEDC, has announced that the Odessa Chamber of Commerce is the recipient of its annual Community Economic Development Awards, CEDA, for communities its size in the state of Texas for 2021. The award will be presented at the TEDC's annual conference in Fort Worth on October 14th. The Community Economic Development Award Program recognizes exceptional contributions of TEDC member cities toward the economic vitality of their communities and the state of Texas through creativity, leadership, and partnership in the achievement of business retention, business recruitment, and community improvement. The CEDA committee received 56 applications this year. Nominees were judged on 5 criteria: innovativeness, transferability, community commitment and leverage, measured objectives, and secondary benefits. Odessa is being recognized and receiving its award for the category of cities with a population 1,001 to 250,000. Other Texas cities receiving awards in their categories are Hillsborough, Terrell, Lancaster, Conroe, and El Paso. I am so proud of our chamber staff, all of our taxing entities, and numerous business leaders for working together to keep Odessa in the forefront of economic development in West Texas, Odessa Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Renee Earls said. Our can-do spirit once again proves that Odessa is the place where growing businesses can reach their full potential. Local News Roundup. Vaccination Clinic to continue. The COVID-19 Vaccination Clinic at UTPB Park will continue 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Tuesday through Friday. First, second, and Pfizer booster shots will be available. To qualify for the booster, it must have been at least 6 months since last dose. A doctor's note for the Moderna booster shot is required. Please enter the parking lot from 42nd Street, 191 Frontage Road. No appointment is needed. COVID tests on Monday. The City of Odessa Incident Command will partner with Curative to offer COVID-19 PCR tests from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday at McKinney Park. Entrance will be on West Pool Road, west of South Sam Houston. Insurance information will be requested. If no insurance, test will be free. Alley Waterline Replacement. A waterline replacement project will begin Monday, September 27th, in the South Alley of 1000 to 1200 block of West 23rd Street. This project is estimated to last up to 3 months. The contractor is responsible for alerting citizens to any temporary disruptions of service. Healthy Families event scheduled for October 16th. The Mayor's Drug and Crime Commission's Healthy Families Build Healthy Communities event will be held 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, October 16th. At Sherwood Community Center's parking lot. The event will include resources by community organizations, fun activities including a DJ, hot dogs, police and fire vehicle displays, and a jumper. This event is to provide resources to create healthy families in the community. Fashion show applications close. Registration for the 6th annual Permian Basin Fashion Show is closed due to the overwhelming response of participants. Due to the ongoing COVID pandemic, modifications have been made. The event will be televised sometime in the second week of November on KPBT Basin PBS. An e-book of the event will also be published. The show will broadcast online from mid-November through December. Fur Ball Benefit. The 10th Annual Fur Ball benefiting the Midland Humane Coalition, A Night to Remember, a masquerade party, has been scheduled from 6 p.m. to midnight, October 30th, at the Petroleum Club, 501 West Wall Street, Midland. There will be dinner, live and silent auctions, open bar, photo booth, and casino games. Entertainment will be presented by West Texas Funk. Tickets are $150. Sponsorships are available. To sponsor, for tickets or information, visit tinyurl.com/XCSCDHV8. Obituary and death notices from the Odessa American for Saturday. Veda Eileen Herring Cobb, 83, of Kerrville, passed from this life on Tuesday, September 21st. Eileen was born to the late M.R. Herring and Veda Wells Herring on August 4, 1938, in Raymondville, Texas. Eileen is survived by her husband, Jerry Paul Cobb, and her three children, Michael Wayne Cobb of Lubbock, Derek Andrew Cobb and wife Jennifer of McKinney, and Jerry Lynn Huffman and husband David of Lafayette, Louisiana. She is also survived by 8 grandchildren, 6 great-grandchildren, brother R.D. Herring and sister Beverly Finnegan. A private memorial was held at her home where many fond memories and stories were shared by her family as they remembered the beautiful woman she was and the full life she lived. Her ashes will be interred in Odessa at a future date. Arrangements were under the direction and personal care of the professionals at Kerrville Funeral Home. Sylvina Loya Pignon, 92, of Odessa, died Tuesday, September 14th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. September 27th at St. Joseph Catholic Church. Visitation will be held at Odessa Funeral Home from 1 to 9 p.m. Rosary will start at 7 p.m. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Father Joseph is officiating. Arrangements are by Odessa Funeral Home of Odessa. Juan Blas Rivera, 48, of Midland, died Saturday, September 4th in Odessa. Mass was celebrated September 25th at St. Stephen's Catholic Church. Burial immediately followed at American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements were by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Wilbert Lee Jr. Seifert, 69, died Saturday, September 18th in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Odessa American for Sunday, September 26th. Bowie, Changing Culture, A Step at a Time, by Ruth Campbell. Less than 2 months into the RISE program, Bowie Middle School principal Paul Fulce and his teachers said they feel they're making headway. Along with Bowie, Burnett Elementary School is a RISE campus. RISE stands for Rapidly Improving School Effectiveness Program, and it was implemented this year because the schools are designated as F under state accountability ratings. The program is based on Dallas ISD's ACE, or Accelerating School Excellence Program. Because it has been successful, ACE was contracted out to other districts. Funds tied to the program cover a longer school day, materials and supplies for additional activities, targeted tutoring, and more. Under RISE, teachers have to meet certain criteria. Bowie has roughly 1,060 students in 6th through 8th grade this year. Fulce noted that the 6th grade class has about 100 fewer students than usual, but Bowie has almost 400 seventh graders and 400 eighth graders, which is more or less normal. We've spent the first 6 weeks really focusing on culture and expectations, and obviously that is something that we're going to do all year long. We will occasionally have to hit a stop and reset, Foles said. For example, the campus has hit supply chain issues that have delayed efforts to spruce up the school. A book vending machine is on its way, courtesy of the Education Foundation, that the school will be able to use for student incentives. To make the transition to middle school easier, sixth graders are in pods with their own hallway and restroom, and the teachers stay with them. We don't separate them entirely. There's lots of interaction, Foles said. The campus also is divided into houses that have friendly competitions with each other to earn points. The house names are of West Texas universities, so there are banners for each one. Foles said the schools have also sent pennants and other swag. We have their permission to use their images and so on. They've actually been great. They keep sending stuff for the kids, which is fantastic. We have the Falcons, the Lobos, the Buffaloes, the Red Raiders, and the Rams, Foles said. Each house has a barcode on their IDs. When they do something above and beyond, the teacher scans their ID, and it adds to their house points. Every week we highlight the winning house. So as you can see, the flag flying under the Texas flag outside is the ASU Rams. So last week, the Rams won. Every week, we hang the winning flag. The next week, they also get some sort of incentive, an icy or an ice cream sandwich, or something along those lines, Foles said. As the year goes on, they will add more incentives, not just for house activities and competitions, but for attendance, for example. We've given a lot of thought to the incentives that kids want and that will inspire them to be present and do the right thing, Foles said. He added that progress in the classroom is linked to the culture and the belonging students feel in school. Foles said this is a big shift for the campus, showing students that they are not alone and are part of a larger group. Handbooks for the houses will be compiled and hopefully last in perpetuity, Foles said. The next time you visit us, I hope we will have Harry Potter-style banners hanging and whatnot. The kids right now, they're all color-coded. They're color-coded by class and they're color-coded by house. So the sixth graders were purple, the seventh graders were light blue, and the eighth graders were heather gray. That makes it really easy to figure out where someone is, Foles said. The teachers love that. But then their houses, the lanyards that they wear, and they also have rubber bracelets if they want, but the lanyards that they wear are the color of their house. The Falcons have orange lanyards and so on. It's just a way to build that camaraderie that we haven't ever had. OC Board to consider higher tax rate. The Odessa College Board of Trustees will meet at 6:30 p.m. Monday in the Zant Room of the Salisbury Campus Center to consider approving the 2021 tax rate. The proposed rate is 0.201723 per $100 valuation, and the 2020 rate was 0.188965 per $100 valuation. The rate that would have triggered an election is 0.214653 per $100 valuation, and the rate needed to bring in the same tax revenue as last year is 0.197289. It is now called the No New Revenue Tax Rate. The total budget for this year is $74,588,865, which includes $53,223,726 in unrestricted funds, and $21,365,139 in restricted funds. Quick hits. Blues Challenge. The Greater West Texas Blues Society has scheduled Bring Your Own Blues, a local IBC challenge at 6 p.m., October 28th, at the Destination, 1705 West Industrial Avenue, Midland. cash awards to winners, open judged competition. Entry is $50 band and $30 solo duo. Checks should be made payable to Greater West Texas Blues Society. Deadline is October 21st. Application form can be found online at tinyurl.com/YTHKVPFS. Return completed form to email info at gwtxblues.com. For guidelines or more information, visit gwtxblues.com or contact D. Craig Smith, Greater West Texas Blues Society, 201 West Wall Street, Suite 800, Midland, Texas, 79701. Email dcraigs, dcraigs, at gwtxblues, or call 432-553-5064 or 432-687-2161. Medicare Open Enrollment. The Area Agency of the Permian Basin on Aging Regional Planning Commission has scheduled two Medicare Open Enrollment events from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. On the following dates and locations. October 26th, Southside Senior Center, 900 South Dixie Boulevard. October 28th, Northside Senior Center, 1225 North Adams Avenue. Benefits counselors will be available to assist Medicare beneficiaries explore new choices. Registration deadline. To be eligible to vote in the constitutional amendments election on November 2nd, you must be a registered voter. If you're not a registered voter, or if you need to update your address with a voter registrar, you have until October 4th to do so in person, or application must be postmarked October 4th. You may also submit an application online with the Secretary of State at the following email addresses. Secretary of State, www.sos.state.tx.us. For voting status, call the Elections Office. For Ector County Office, 1010 East 8th Street, Suite 101, Ector County Annex, 432-498-4030. Midland County Office, 2110 A Street, Midland County Annex, Midland, 432-688-4890.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.